everyone, welcome to a deep dive into AI in the public sector.
Yeah, it's a world where AI is already making waves, you know?
Yeah.
Helping fight those wildfires, making sense of mounds of intel data. It even touches on patents.
Exactly. It sounds like something out of sci-fi, but it's happening right now. And to break it all down, we've got some amazing insights from a panel discussion. We had some real experts, a senior counsel from the Department of Justice, a program manager from the Department of Energy's AI office, and the CIO of the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, just to name a few.
Really gets you thinking about those unique opportunities and challenges the government's up against when it comes to AI, right?
Yeah.
It's a huge landscape, touches on everything from how the public sees it to legal frameworks, even national security.
Absolutely. And one thing that jumped out at me was this whole public perception versus reality thing with AI. I feel like so many people still think job-stealing robots when they hear AI, don't you?
Mm. Oh, yeah, definitely. It's understandable to be a little afraid of the unknown. But what we're seeing in the public sector is that AI is more about enhancing what humans can do, not replacing them altogether.
Right. It's a tool, not a takeover. One of the panelists, Jenny Bradley from the Department of Energy, had a really interesting point about this. She talked about how their national labs are all in on AI, but some staff at headquarters were a little hesitant, worried about job security and all that.
It's funny how that works, isn't it? You'd think the scientists at the forefront would be the ones with concerns. But it just goes to show you how powerful those media stories about AI can be.
It definitely highlights the need to educate people more about what AI really is and how to use it responsibly.
Right. It's about changing the narrative, moving away from human versus machine and towards human plus machine. AI is a tool that can make us all work better and smarter.
I like that, human plus machine. So public perception is one hurdle, but then you've got the whole legal and regulatory side of things. That's a whole other can of worms. Jamie Holcomb, the CIO of the USPTO, brought up a question that's been blowing people's minds. Can AI actually be an inventor?
It's a big question, for sure, with huge implications. And legally speaking, at least for now, the answer is no. Only humans or corporations can apply for patents. But some countries, like the UK and Australia, are already exploring new ways to categorize intellectual property that was created with AI.
So it sounds like the law is playing catch up with how fast AI technology is developing.
Oh, absolutely. It's scrambling to keep up. That's why public input on these evolving regulations is so important. It's our chance as citizens to help shape the future of AI and how it's used.
That's a good point. It's not just something happening to us. We can actually be a part of it. So besides this whole who gets the patent thing, what other legal challenges are popping up with AI in the public sector?
Well, one of the biggest challenges is the data itself. Think about all the data the government handles. A lot of it is what Jamie called dirty data, meaning it's inconsistent, poorly organized, or just plain incomplete. That makes it really tough to train those AI models effectively.
That's relatable, though, isn't it? I mean, who hasn't had a messy spreadsheet give them a headache?
Yeah, but imagine that on a government scale. Cleaning and organizing that data is a huge job, but it's vital for any AI initiative to be successful.
Makes sense. Okay, so we've got public perception, legal hurdles, and then, of course, there's the big one, privacy and ethics. Kate McKenzie from the Department of Justice really hit on this during the discussion.
Right. She was emphasizing how the government has this responsibility to protect people's privacy, especially when you're dealing with sensitive information.
Exactly. And we've got existing laws like the Privacy Act of 1974 that were created way before AI was even a thing.
And that's the point, right? It means we really have to think carefully about how AI systems are accessing and processing all this data, especially things like health records or financial info. It's about striking a balance, using the power of AI, while also making sure it's being used responsibly and ethically.
And it's not just about preventing misuse. It's also about building trust with the public, showing them that AI is being implemented responsibly.
Absolutely. Transparency is key. Mm-hmm. People need to know how their data is being used and what safeguards are in place.
Speaking of safeguards, you mentioned earlier that the government is taking steps to ensure responsible AI development, right? Can you talk more about that?
Sure. In 2020, they issued Executive Order 2960. Basically says that every agency have to appoint these responsible AI officials. Their job is to make sure that AI is used ethically across all those government departments and programs. It's a big step towards creating some clear guidelines and accountability for AI development.
So it sounds like they're trying to get ahead of the curve with responsible AI. But let's switch gears a bit and talk about what's actually working. Because despite all these challenges, the government's actually doing some pretty amazing things with AI.
Yes, it's true, and the applications are so varied. They show how AI can boost efficiency, tackle complex problems, and ultimately benefit society as a whole.
Let's start with the USPTO, the Patent Office. Jamie talked about how they're dealing with a crazy amount of data, 9 petabytes of patent data. That's like searching every book ever written, but digitally.
It's mind-boggling. But that's where AI comes in. They're using it to totally change how they classify patents, search through them, and even detect fraud.
So it's not about replacing human examiners. It's about giving them superpowered tools to do their jobs even better.
Exactly. It's about helping them sift through mountains of info, find relevant prior art, and make sure the patent system is accurate and has integrity. It's a really innovative approach.
Oh, you mean the Kaggle competition Jamie mentioned? Tell me more about that, because I was fascinated by it.
Right. So they launched this competition on Kaggle, a data science platform, and offered a $25,000 prize for whoever could develop the best algorithm for patent analysis.
Wait, only $25,000? That seems like a bargain for the government, considering how impactful it could be.
It does, right. And get this, the winning algorithms are open source, so anyone can use them. It's a win-win. The government gets cutting-edge tech, and the public gets a more transparent and innovative patent system.
And over 1,800 teams participated from all over the world. It's amazing to think someone sitting at their computer in, say, Brazil, could help make the U.S. patent system better.
It shows the power of crowdsourcing and open innovation.
And it's got to be way more cost-effective than traditional government contracting.
Definitely. And it builds collaboration and knowledge sharing.
So we've got AI helping us with patents, but it's also being used to tackle something a bit more, well, fiery. The Department of Energy is using AI to predict and prevent wildfires. It sounds like something out of a movie.
It's pretty amazing, right? They use AI to analyze those satellite images and identify areas with high fuel loads. That's basically dry vegetation that's likely to burn.
Makes sense. But how can you predict a wildfire just from space pictures? Seems like a long shot.
It's not about knowing the exact spot and time a fire will start. It's about identifying high-risk areas and taking steps to prevent fires. AI helps them analyze all sorts of data, weather patterns, vegetation types, and even past fire data to create super detailed risk maps.
So it's about being proactive, not reactive. You can use AI to target resources and potentially prevent a whole disaster. That's a game changer.
Exactly. It's a perfect example of how AI can address real-world problems with benefits for everyone.
It's not just theory. It's about making a difference. And speaking of making a difference, the FBI is using AI to analyze those anonymous tips they get. I bet that's a ton of data.
You have no idea. Their system, called TIPS, that's Threat Intake Processing System, sifts through all that info to find credible threats and figure out how to allocate resources better. Without AI, so many crucial leads could get lost just because there's too much for humans to process quickly enough.
That's a little scary to think about. So AI is helping the FBI stay ahead of threats and keep us safe. But digging a little deeper, using AI to analyze tips brings up some serious questions about privacy and bias. How do we make sure these AI systems are used responsibly and ethically, especially with sensitive stuff like anonymous tips?
That's a really important point. It all comes back to transparency and accountability. The FBI has to be extremely careful how they use AI, thinking about potential biases in the data or the algorithms themselves. They need a clear framework for how these systems are developed, tested, and monitored to make sure they're fair and accurate.
It's not just about the tech, it's about the human side too, right? The people making and using these AI systems have to be trained to recognize and address any potential bias. It's about building a culture of responsibility and ethical decision-making.
Exactly. You need the right people and processes to make sure AI is used ethically and effectively.
So it's a multifaceted challenge, but it sounds like they're moving in the right direction. Now, we've seen how AI is impacting agencies individually, but what about collaboration between different departments? Even with the private sector, is there any cross-pollination happening there?
That's where things get even more interesting. The panelists talked about some really cool partnerships between government agencies, private companies, and even universities.
Okay, I'm all ears. What kind of collaborations are we talking about here?
Well, remember that Kaggle competition? That's just one example of how the government is using crowdsourcing and open innovation. But it goes beyond competitions. There are partnerships between agencies, too.
Like what? I'm really curious.
Well, for instance, Joni mentioned a partnership between the Department of Energy and, get this, Norway.
Wait, the Department of Energy and Norway? That's an interesting pairing. What's the story there?
It's a win-win situation. Norway has a ton of data on those complex offshore wind terrains, something the U.S. needs for its transition to renewable energy. In return, the DOE gives them access to high-performance computing power, which Norway can use for their research and development.
It's like a global science exchange. Everyone benefits. They're basically trading data and resources to speed up innovation in both countries.
That's really cool. Any other surprising collaborations like that?
Oh, yeah, quite a few. For example, Joni also mentioned that the DOE is partnering with the SETI Institute, you know, folks searching for extraterrestrial life.
Hmm.
They're engaging postdocs to solve real-world problems.
Hold on. The Department of Energy is working with the people looking for aliens. This is wild. What kind of problems are they working on? Really important stuff. Things like identifying undeclared uranium canisters, which could be a big security risk. It shows how even fields that seem totally different can come together to solve real-world problems.
It's like a brain trust, with brilliant minds from all over coming together to make the world safer. That's awesome. Okay, so we've talked about the challenges, the successes, the amazing collaborations. But what does all this mean for the future? What kind of future are we building with AI in the public sector?
Now that's where things get really interesting. Each panelist shared their vision for the future. And it's clear AI has the potential to revolutionize how the government works and serves the public.
I'm ready. What kind of changes are we talking about?
Well, Joni had a really powerful idea. Revisiting past government projects that stalled out and using AI to finally achieve those goals.
Oh, like what? Give me some examples.
She specifically mentioned expanding broadband access to rural communities and declassifying those mountains of government documents.
Ugh, the declassification project? I remember that one. It was like trying to boil the ocean.
Right. It was huge and involved sorting through tons of documents, mostly by hand. But AI could automate a lot of that work,
yeah,
making it way more efficient and achievable.
So AI could actually make the government more transparent and accountable to the people. That's a big deal. What other future visions did the panelists share?
Jamie talked about how AI could revolutionize education. Imagine learning that's more personalized, engaging, and accessible to everyone, regardless of their background or location.
Okay, I'm picturing it. What would that look like in practice?
Think AI tutors that adapt to how you learn. Interactive simulations that make learning more hands-on, and intelligent systems that find the perfect educational content for every student.
It's like having an education system built just for you, based on your needs and interests. Incredible. What about Kate? What was her vision?
Well, as a lawyer, Kate focused on how AI could empower everyday people to understand and navigate legal documents, which can be so complex.
So instead of needing a lawyer to decipher all the jargon, you could have AI tools that break it down into plain language, making it easy for anyone to understand.
That's the idea. It could really level the playing field, giving everyone access to information and tools so they can stand up for themselves and understand their rights.
That's huge, especially for folks who can't afford legal help. So lots of optimism about AI's potential to improve lives. But I gotta ask, what about the potential downsides? We've all seen those sci-fi movies where AI takes over and things go bad. Are there concerns about AI being misused or weaponized?
Of course. Any powerful technology has risks. That's why those ethical guidelines, responsible AI officials, and ongoing conversations about AI's impact are so important. We have to be proactive and address those risks before they become problems.
So it's not just about the tech, but how we choose to use it and the safeguards we put in place.
Exactly. Kate said it best. She sees a government leading by example, using AI ethically and transparently to serve the public better. It's about using this powerful tech for good, to improve lives, and make a more just society for everyone.
That's a great point. It's not AI versus humans. It's using AI to boost our abilities and create a better future for everyone.
Exactly. And that leads to the most important question. If AI could solve just one societal problem, which one would you choose?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I'm going to have to think about that. But it's the kind of question we all should be asking, because the choices we make today determine what our AI-powered future will look like.
I agree. It's not just up to the experts or the people making policies. It's up to all of us to talk about this, learn about AI, and make our voices heard. The future of AI isn't set in stone. It's a story that's still being written, and we all have a part in it. Welcome back to our deep dive into AI in the public sector. You know, before we took a break, we were talking about how AI could change the game for government projects and really tackle some major societal issues.
Yeah, it's pretty mind-blowing stuff, and we've just barely scratched the surface. In this part, I really want to explore how AI is already being used to improve our lives, sometimes in ways you wouldn't expect.
I like that. It's easy to focus on the big picture, but often the most fascinating stories are in those everyday details.
Totally agree. So let's talk taxes. Everyone loves taxes, right? But seriously, did you know the IRS is using AI to fight fraud and make filing smoother?
Oh yeah, it's true. They're using AI to look at huge amounts of tax return data, looking for patterns and red flags that could mean fraud. Helps them use resources better and catch those trying to game the system.
It's like having a super-powered auditor working 24/7. But what about for everyday people just trying to file their taxes? How is AI making things easier for us?
Well, they're looking into AI chatbots to answer common tax questions and help people through the filing process. Could save a lot of time and headaches, especially for those who can't afford fancy tax prep services.
So basically a virtual tax assistant, available all the time. That's pretty cool. But AI isn't just about taxes, it's also playing a bigger role in healthcare.
Oh, absolutely. One really interesting area is using AI for early disease detection and diagnosis. Researchers are developing algorithms that can look at medical images, like x-rays or mammograms, with incredible accuracy, potentially catching things like cancer much earlier when they're easier to treat.
That's a game changer for sure. I remember reading about how AI can even help predict outbreaks of infectious diseases like the flu or even another COVID-type situation.
Exactly. By analyzing data from all over, like social media, search engines, even weather patterns, AI can help public health officials spot those potential outbreaks early and stop them from spreading.
It's like an early warning system for public health, which is pretty incredible. But AI isn't just about crunching numbers and making predictions. It's also being used to improve communication, make things more accessible for everyone.
You're thinking of AI-powered language translation tools, right?
Exactly. Think about a world where language isn't a barrier anymore. These tools are already being used by government agencies to communicate with people who speak other languages. Makes those essential services accessible to everyone, regardless of what language they speak.
It's a great example of how AI can break down barriers and create a more inclusive society. And speaking of breaking down barriers, what about transportation? How's AI changing the way we get around?
Okay, now I'm really intrigued. What's happening there?
Well, AI is a key player in developing self-driving cars, which have the potential to completely change transportation as we know it. Not only could they make roads safer by reducing human error, but they could also improve traffic flow and make transportation more accessible for people with disabilities.
It's like something out of the Jetsons, but in real life. And it's not just self-driving cars. AI can optimize public transportation too, right?
Right. Cities are using AI to look at traffic patterns and passenger data so they can create better bus and train schedules. That means shorter wait times and making public transit a more appealing option.
So AI is making our cities smarter and our transportation systems more efficient. But let's not forget about the environment. AI has a role to play in tackling some of those big environmental challenges too, right?
Absolutely. AI is being used to analyze data from satellites and sensors to monitor deforestation, track pollution, even predict how climate change might impact us.
It's like having a global watchdog constantly monitoring the health of our planet and giving us a heads up about potential problems. But it's not just about data collection, it's about finding solutions, right?
Exactly. For example, AI is being used to make buildings more energy efficient, which helps us use less energy overall and move away from those fossil fuels.
So AI is helping us build a more sustainable future where we can live in harmony with the environment. But talking about all these amazing AI applications makes me wonder about the potential downsides. We talked about privacy, but are there other ethical things we need to think about?
That's a great question. And you're right, any powerful technology has its ethical considerations. For instance, there's a risk that AI could actually make existing inequalities worse if it's not developed and used carefully.
Can you give me an example of what you mean?
Sure. Imagine a hiring system that uses AI. If it's trained on data that reflects existing biases in the workforce, it could actually reinforce those biases and make it even harder for underrepresented groups to get hired.
That's a scary thought. It really emphasizes how important it is to ensure these AI systems are fair, unbiased, and accessible to everyone. We need to think critically about the data that trains these systems and ensure that equity and inclusion are built in from the start.
Absolutely. We need to be aware of the potential consequences and take steps to minimize those risks. And a big part of that is having open and honest conversations about these ethical challenges and making sure diverse voices are heard in the development and use of AI.
It sounds like we need a whole new set of ethical guidelines specifically designed for AI. This field is changing so fast that our laws and regulations need to catch up.
I agree. We have to approach AI development with responsibility, making sure it benefits all of humanity, not just a select few.
It's a huge responsibility, but I think if we approach it with the right mindset and focus on using AI for good, we can create a future where everyone benefits from this incredible technology.
Couldn't have said it better myself. It's about harnessing the power of AI to solve those big challenges and build a more just and sustainable world. And it's something we all need to be a part of.
That's a great way to put it. We've covered a lot of ground, exploring how AI is being used to improve healthcare, transportation, environmental protection, even our taxes. But the story of AI in the public sector isn't over yet. In our final segment, we'll dive deeper into the future of AI, explore what it might hold for us individually and as a society. Stick with us. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We've been exploring how AI is shaking things up in the public sector, from fighting wildfires to making patents easier and even helping us with our taxes.
We've seen some really amazing real-world applications, and it's pretty clear that AI can help solve some of our biggest problems.
Right, but as we talked about, we have to be careful about the ethical side of things, make sure AI is used responsibly.
Absolutely. And that's something that came up a lot in the panel discussion we've been unpacking.
The experts really emphasize the importance of having a clear vision for the future of AI in government. So let's talk about that. What does that future look like? What kind of world are we building with this technology?
Well, one of the panelists, Kate McKenzie from the Department of Justice, she had a really interesting perspective. She talked about a future where government agencies are kind of leading the way, using AI ethically and transparently to better serve the public.
That's a pretty powerful vision. It's not about replacing human judgment. It's about using AI to make us better, to make those decisions more informed and fair.
Exactly. It's about using AI to empower people, to give them better access to information and services, and to create a government that's more responsive and efficient.
Jamie Holcomb, the CIO of the USPTO, he also had some interesting thoughts on this. He talked about how AI could revolutionize education, make it more personalized and accessible for everyone.
It's exciting to think about, right? Imagine a world where everyone has access to great education, tailored to how they learn best.
That would be huge, especially for communities that haven't had the same opportunities. It could really level the playing field.
Definitely. And it could lead to a more innovative and equitable society overall.
Speaking of innovation, Joni Bradley from the Department of Energy had some inspiring thoughts on how AI could tackle some of our biggest problems, like climate change and moving to renewable energy.
Yeah, she talked about using AI to make those energy grids work better, develop new clean energy technologies, and even keep an eye on the health of our planet from space.
It's amazing to think how AI can help us create a more sustainable future for ourselves and future generations.
But it's not just about fixing problems. It's also about using AI to open up new possibilities, to create things we haven't even thought of yet.
That's what's so cool about this field. It's always changing, pushing the limits of what's possible.
But as we move forward, we can't forget about the ethical stuff. We need to make sure AI is developed and used in a way that benefits everyone, not just a few.
That's a crucial point. It's not just about the technology itself. It's about the choices we make as a society about how to use it. We have to be deliberate about shaping the future of AI in a way that reflects our values and helps everyone.
And that's where you come in, our listeners. Like we've been talking about, the future of AI in the public sector isn't set in stone. It's a story that's still being written, and we all have a role to play.
So stay informed, be a part of the conversation, and make your voice heard. The choices we make now will determine what that AI future looks like.
And like the expert said, that future has the potential to be amazing, full of possibilities we can only start to imagine.
Well, that wraps up our deep dive into AI in the public sector. We hope you found it informative and interesting, maybe even got you thinking about the possibilities.
And remember, this is just the start of the conversation. We encourage you to check out the source material for this episode. You can find it in the show notes. And keep learning about this fascinating, ever-changing field.
Until next time, stay curious and keep exploring the world of AI.